Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is an outreach of the Christian Research Institute designed to equip believers to defend their faith and live their lives as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. You got the number to dial, as just mentioned, by Randy, 888-ASK-HANK, which numerically spells out to, or translates to, 888-275-4265, our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As mentioned yesterday, I am so passionate about the resources that we're making available to those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Hank Unplugged podcast, and our 24/7 outreaches around the world, because they involve the quintessential issue of prayer. And today, of course, is the National Day of Prayer. President Donald Trump made some remarks regarding prayer on the National Day of Prayer, including the words, "Our country was founded on prayer. Our communities are sustained by prayer. And our nation will be renewed by hard work, a lot of intelligence, and above all, by prayer." Today we gather to remember this truth. We thank God for the faith of our people. We praise God for the blessings of freedom. And we ask God to forever bless this magnificent land that we love so much. And of course, when we thank the Lord, when we communicate with the Lord, one of the principal ways in which we do that is through what I call the prayer of Jesus, which translated is the Lord's Prayer. And most of you are familiar with the Lord's Prayer. Familiar in the sense that you've said it over and over and over again. But each word counts. Jesus made each word count. And this prayer manner can become so much more significant to you if you understand each word and its meaning. So what are you saying when you address God as Father, our Father who art in heaven? Well, if you go back to the disciples, the very notion would have been scandalous to them. When Jesus started telling them that they were to address God as Father, they, as I just mentioned, must have been scandalized. Why? Because they're not even permitted to utter the name of the one who dwells in unapproachable light, much less refer to him as Father. And yet, that is precisely how Jesus teaches his followers to address God. There was, of course, a catch. There's always a catch. And John explains the catch. He says, "Only those who receive our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and believe on his name have the right to refer to God as Father." So in one sense, Jesus is the only one who can legitimately address God as Father, because he is uniquely God by nature. But nevertheless, as Paul explains it in Romans chapter 8, if you are led by the Spirit of God, you're not an illegitimate child. You are an actual member of God's family by God's grace. By grace, you and I have the privilege to become what God is by nature. And therefore, we who have received this spirit of adoption can cry out. We can cry out, Abba, Father. What does that mean? Well, quite literally, that means Papa, Father. You know, Paul said we're God's children. And now if we are children, then we are heirs. And if we are heirs of God, we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. So daily you and I can thank our Father in heaven that while he is far beyond our comprehension, he has granted me, he has granted you the privilege to call him Father. And not only my Father, but our Father. We don't pray as singularities. We pray in plural. For by his grace, you, I, we're all members of a Father's family. We're living stones in a spiritual house by which our Lord is the head, and by which this body continues to be built. So we begin our prayer with the words, Our Father in heaven, followed up by, Hallowed be your name. So what does that mean? To pray hallowed be your name is to put some emphasis exactly where it belongs. Our daily lives must radiate a far greater commitment to God's nature, to his holiness, than even to our own needs. Did you hear that? It's not just about a laundry list of needs. Our daily lives must radiate a commitment to God's nature, his holiness. That's paramount. And therefore, to pray, Hallowed be thy name, is to ask that our Heavenly Father be given the unique reverence that his holiness demands, that his word be preached without corruption, that our churches be led by faithful pastors and priests, that our churches be preserved from false prophets. And if ever there's a time to pray that, Hallowed be thy name. May your name be made holy by those who stand in pulpits in the land, who don't hallow thy name, but replace thy precepts with their own. So we ought to pray fervently, Hallowed be thy name. May our churches be led by faithful pastors and priests and preserved from false prophets. May we be kept from language that profanes your holiness. May our thought lives remain pure. May we cease from seeking honor for ourselves and instead seek that your name be glorified. It's why I love the prayer of Saint Ephrem so much. O Lord and Master of my life, give me not a spirit of sloth, idle curiosity, love of power, useless chatter. Rather, accord to me, your servant, a spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love. Yes, O Lord and King, grant that I may see my own faults and not condemn my brother, for you are blessed unto the ages of ages. May we keep from language that profanes the holiness of God. May our thought lives remain pure. May we cease from seeking honor for ourselves and instead seek that your name be glorified. I think it was Saint Augustine who said, that's prayed for not as if the name of God were not already holy, but that it may be held holy by men. That God may so become known to men that they may reckon nothing more holy, nothing which they are more afraid of offending. And so today, on the second day of May, I once again thank you, dear Father, that I may be among those through whom your name is made holy, not just for today, but for the ages of ages. Amen. The Prayer of Ephraim, as well as my book, which explains the prayer of Jesus in detail. It has a study guide that comes with it, part of the book, available to those who support the ministry. And it is my deep prayer that many of you will get those resources, not just because we need this ministry to be supported by friends like you, but I think these resources are transformational. I went against all the advice of people that said, you know, offer something else. This was my passion for this month. So I've made it available. You can find the resources on the web at equip.org. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
The way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray was so transformational in Hank Hanegraaff's personal prayer life that it motivated him to write The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Rather than a technique by which we can get God to meet our perceived needs, the prayer of Jesus is the secret to attaining a level of intimacy with the lover of our souls we may never before have imagined. To receive your copy of The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
What are the secrets to real intimacy with God? In The Prayer of Jesus, Hank Hanegraaff will help you understand the mystery of prayer by delving into the prayer of the one who is the cornerstone of our faith, Jesus Christ, to learn Jesus' sevenfold secret of prayer as found in his own words. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and it revolutionized their lives. You too can revolutionize your prayer life by learning to pray as Jesus prayed, to experience even deeper union with God. The Prayer of Jesus is the secret to attaining a level of intimacy with the lover of your soul you may never before have imagined. To receive your copy of The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The problem with same-sex attraction conversion therapy is the way it is defined and presented, sometimes inaccurately, sometimes dishonestly. And like other forms of counseling, some of its practitioners have erred grievously, but that hardly calls for an end to sound versions of the practice itself. Other topics include history's bloody mess, why Marxism and socialism always fail, should Christians participate in boycotts, Athanasius, a C.S. Lewis of the early church, honoring dishonorable parents, the historicity of Moses, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. I do want to say something about St. Ephraim, because we are offering a cross with the prayer of St. Ephraim. I've quoted it before. O Lord and Master of my life, give me not a spirit of sloth, idle curiosity, love of power, and useless chatter. Or rather, accord to me, your servant, a spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love. Yes, O Lord and King, grant that I may see my own faults and not condemn my brother, for you are blessed unto ages of ages. Amen. When you get this cross with this prayer, at the bottom of the cross you have the word Saint Ephraim. And people may be wondering, who was Saint Ephraim? Known as Saint Ephraim the Syrian. He lived in the 4th century. He was a poet. He was a teacher. He was an orator. He was a defender of the faith, and that against false doctrine. Doctrine that had arisen in his epoch of time, both within and without the church. And I love St. Ephraim the Syrian, particularly his commentary on Genesis, where he depicts the paradise narrative as a paradigm of deification. I write about deification in my upcoming book out in November. He gives us an interpretive framework for the history of redemption, sort of a spiritual geography for the conceptualization of deifying union with God as the goal of the Christian life. In the writings of Ephraim, I love what he does. He takes paradise and he has it occupying and operating as a liminal space. It's part of the created cosmos, but it's part that is intended to serve as the venue for divine and human communion. And as such, it's special. It's set apart in relationship to the rest of creation. And so Ephraim imagines the Edenic Garden as a mountain like unto Mount Zion. It's a mountain that dwarfs all other mountains. It has a paradisical peak that reaches to the very habitation of God. And there he imagines that the tree of knowledge is planted halfway up the mountain, but the tree of life located with the Shekinah at the mountain peak. So if Adam and Eve had rejected the serpent, they would have eaten from the tree of life, and the tree of knowledge would not have been withheld from them. From one, they would have gained infallible knowledge, and from the other, they would have received immortal life. They would have acquired divinity with their humanity. Instead, well, they were exiled from the Edenic Garden, from transversing the slope leading towards the peak of deification. But that's not the end of the story. The rest of the story is that of a second Adam, who clothed himself in fallen humanity. In his temptation, in his obedience on the mountain in the wilderness, Christ rehearsed the events. He reversed the effects of Adam's temptation, of his disobedience on the mountain of paradise. And in doing that, he rehabilitated human free will. He reiterated the proper paradigm for its use. It was above all in his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, that Christ returns Adam and humanity to the life of Eden. Imagine St. Ephraim in the 4th century writing about this. And even in our time, having men like Dr. Thomas Buchan giving us a brilliantly concise distillation in rhythm with what I have just communicated. But now imagine Well, it is at the turn of the first millennium. You have the wisest man who ever lived. He's rendering wisdom, the fruit of the righteous, and longing fulfilled, a proverbial tree of life. It's not just any old tree. It's a tree that finds ultimate root in two gardens. One is the anti-historical state, A-N-T-E, the anti-historical state. The tree of life stood at the apex of the Edenic garden in the anti-historical state. In the post-historical state, the tree of life is rooted, well, it's rooted in the eternal garden. Why? Because it's a memorial to paradise regained. To him who overcomes, said Jesus, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. In other words, we will experience deification throughout eternity. But what about now? Well, as yet, in the present, there is a tree of life. A tree of life of which we may presently partake. This tree stands on Golgotha's hill. It's the fulcrum of history. On it, Jesus stretches one hand towards the Edenic garden, the other towards the eternal garden. The deification that the first Adam could no longer reach, the second Adam touched in his place. And thus the cross of Christ becomes the way towards our deification, for on it hangs the Eucharistic bounty, the assembly of saints bears resemblance to paradise, sang Ephraim. In it each day is plucked the fruit of him who gives life to all. In it, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, is trodden the cluster of grapes to be the medicine of life. So there's an eternal garden. There's an anti-historical state, but there's a present state as well. This is one of the things I write about in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. I write about deification and the fact that when you partake of the Eucharist, when you partake of the Eucharistic bounty, you're partaking of a grace that is transformational. It's not earthly. It is beyond earthly. It's not natural. It's supernatural. It's not biological. It's zoetic. Some of you are familiar with the word Zoe, Z-O-E. It's zoetic. It's uncreated. When you partake of the Eucharistic bounty, you are partaking of uncreated energy, for only God is uncreated. And that energy has the power to transform you, to lift you, as it were, out of yourself into a space wherein you can enjoy fellowship with the Holy Trinity. That's what you were created for. That's what eternity is about. But we don't have to wait until we die to experience this. We can experience this in the present. Oh, I have such a passion for people to understand what so many in the church are neglecting. And that is a grace that is transformative. I felt it in my own sickness. So when I talk about this prayer of St. Ephraim, I'm not blowing smoke. It's not a novel little trinket for me. It's something that every morning is transformative. I pray this prayer before an icon of Christ. I don't worship the icon. I worship Christ. I venerate the icon. But as I consecrate myself to Christ every day anew, and I pray for his healing, physical healing. But God is interested in healing the whole of me, not just the physical part of me. As I do that, I pray this prayer. And again, I felt led, I don't know when it was, a month or so ago, to make this prayer available to you. And I sometimes picture in my mind that you're praying the same thing in the morning. With this on your mirror, becomes a habit in your life. A great transformative habit. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back tomorrow with more answers to your questions. As always, thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
What are the secrets to real intimacy with God? In The Prayer of Jesus, Hank Hanegraaff will help you understand the mystery of prayer by delving into the prayer of the one who is the cornerstone of our faith, Jesus Christ. To learn Jesus' sevenfold secret of prayer as found in his own words, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and it revolutionized their lives. You too can revolutionize your prayer life by learning to pray as Jesus prayed, to experience even deeper union with God. The Prayer of Jesus is the secret to attaining a level of intimacy with the lover of your soul you may never before have imagined. To receive your copy of The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.